This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. New media technology in the hands of an engaged citizenry has been breaking down institutional walls. Blogging, podcasting, cell phone cameras, bandwidth galore. It all allows just plain Joe to become a journalist, a commentator, or an entertainer. Now, and when you think of it, it seems inevitable, the democratization of media is being applied to museum audio tours.
This painting is at the very best a third-rate painting. The composition is what my grandmother used to call umgepatschka, which means in Yiddish overcrowded, and my grandmother never even made it to the Met. She was lucky to get out of Macy's during a white sale.
That's Lee Siegel's audio commentary produced for Slate about Fernand Léger's 1929 painting Still Life, which hangs in New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art. Why rent the museum's stodgy, bulky audio guide when you can download Siegel on your iPod and hear about his grandmother for free? But it was really Professor David Gilbert who came up with the concept of a podcast alternative audio guide when he started a group called Art Mobs and assigned his students to remix the Museum of Modern Art. Cheryl Stover is one of the students who worked on the project. She did a commentary about Picasso's portrait of women in a brothel, Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, with her art history teacher, Jason Rosenfeld. Cheryl, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, first, the basics. Jason, what is Art Mobs?
It essentially was a podcasting project at Marymount Manhattan College, where the students did recordings for Professor David Gilbert's class in communication arts to do tours of MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art.
Our assignment basically was to come up with an audio guide that could relate to people that normally wouldn't necessarily get an audio guide to the museum because they found it dry or uninteresting or whatever their reasons were. The reason we did the podcast the way we did was because it was the irreverence was what drew younger people to the museum and to these different pieces and, you know, got them thinking about them in different ways that they wouldn't have before.
Well, let's get down to particulars here and talk about how your Art Mobs audio commentary differs quite extensively from that of MoMA's. And I think we could use the famous Picasso picture, Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, that has five women, naked, angular. A couple of them are standing in rather blatant positions, and two of them appear to have sort of African masks for faces. Here's a little slice of the MoMA guide.
Some people have spoken about Picasso's discovery of African tribal art. The figures at the right, one above the other, were repainted after Picasso had looked at examples of African tribal art with its magical qualities. Other people have spoken of his ambivalent feeling towards women and the sense of these unpleasant-looking women looking at the observer has been associated to the idea of disease, linking sexuality to not only pleasure but fright.
I have to admit, I kind of like that old duffer. I think he's helping me understand that picture. What do you think of it, Cheryl?
Oh, no, definitely. But were I to listen to that for 7 or 10 minutes, I might drift off.
7 to 10 minutes.
It would take you less time than that, Jason?
I think so. You know, John Elderfield is a senior curator at MoMA, and he's a terrific scholar and curator, and he's the person narrating that. He's giving you the sense that what you are listening to is the spoken truth of modern art. And I think that there's totally a place for that. But what we thought to do was to do it in two ways differently. The first way was to have a conversation. And the second thing was to liven it up.
Actually, you know what? I've read some stuff about this painting. It's actually about STDs.
It's about STDs?
Yes.
Because you can get STDs from going to a whorehouse?
True. Or syphilis. And people in the 19th century, the early 20th century, were obsessed by sexually transmitted diseases. They didn't have condoms.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
There were people dying of these kinds of diseases all the time. And Picasso was obsessed by it as well. In these kinds of paintings of these women who, the two in the middle look kind of cute, but the ones on the side are quite demonic.
Well, they have syphilis.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
The content that you're getting about the artists and what the picture is, quote unquote, about is all real, is all true. But we are, I wouldn't want to say masking it, because we're sort of interweaving that with a discussion which is quite different from the sort of dulcet tones and the sense of magnitude that you get in these audio guides.
Throughout the course of this project, have you listened to other alternative audio art commentaries, and are there any that stick out for you?
Well, we didn't listen to any before because they didn't really exist. I mean, this is honestly something that has now started to bubble a little bit in the wake of this project.
Well, the one thing I can say where I got inspiration from was The Daily Show. Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert did a great piece on the Gates.
Let's just stop for a moment here and say that this was an enormous project, a series of huge orange curtains running across like ley lines all through Central Park, one of the projects of the famous artist team, Christo and Jean-Claude.
Yes, well, Stephen Colbert sort of made fun of them.
The Gates posits a chromatic orgy. This riot of color achieves a rare re-defamiliarization with the nature of place-time, the whatness of our awareness. No longer framed. I'm sorry, I've run out of crap.
There's an old saying that war is too important to be left to the generals. Do you think that art's too important to be left to the art historians?
No. The art historians
speaking
can
as
never,
an art historian.
ever be replaced. No, it's the right question, I think, because works of art are made in the main for the mass public. At least they are today, you know, and they're meant to comment on society and be a vibrant aspect of society. And we should be able to, academics and, you know, laymen alike, should be able to find a way to engage with art that is not intimidating.
So you've sort of democratized the Museum of Modern Art. I never thought it could be done.
Actually, a French writer in one of the newspapers in France actually wrote that when our project first came out. It's a really cool way of looking at it.
Thank you so much, Cheryl Stover.
Thank you.
And Jason Rosenfeld, thanks to you.
Thanks very much.
Cheryl Stover is a student and Jason Rosenfeld an assistant professor at Marymount Manhattan College. They have their audio tour and MoMA has its. Deborah Schwartz is the deputy director of education at the Museum of Modern Art. She says the usage of MoMA's audio guides is way up.
We have about 33% of our visitors using audio guides at the moment. A third of our audience. That has been true since about July 1st, when we were able to offer people audio tours for free. Prior to that, it was about 5%. What we've done is actually taken the audio that we have in the museum available to people, and we've put it both on our website, and we've also made an arrangement with iTunes so that people can, in fact, if they want to, download for free from iTunes our audio guides and have them on their own MP3 players.
You know, one group that seems to have gotten the ball rolling even faster, and they used MoMA as their subject, is something called Art Mobs. Have you heard any of their alternative tours?
I certainly have. We were intrigued by it. We thought it was a fabulous teaching tool. We saw the possibilities, particularly within the context of a college or university, but also for the context of a very young population that's using iPods and other MP3 players all the time. So we, of course, immediately went to their site and started to listen to what they had done. It's very funny. Part of what's so delightful about it, actually, is they're having fun. And embedded in the sort of comedy routine they're doing are lots of bits and pieces of truth, lots of things about either Picasso or the picture that are actually real pieces of information about it. So I actually think it's quite delightful. And it is interesting. It is certainly not the perspective that the museum would put on our audio guide, has put on our audio guide. It's not the kind of tone. But I think it's kind of wonderful.
But, I mean, what happens if these sort of more fun, less authoritative versions begin to overtake the authoritative ones? Would MoMA then become concerned?
I guess we're not really concerned. It's hard for me to imagine that this eclipses completely the desire for people to have also somebody who has studied and has a sort of scholarly perspective on the work. It just doesn't seem likely to me. In fact, it seems to me that it enhances the possibilities for people's engagement.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Deborah Schwartz is the Deputy Director for Education at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
The Demoiselle d'Avignon was, in fact, the most carefully prepared picture that Picasso ever painted.
What do you think about the women in these paintings?
I think they're all naked.